Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with Looking at Love as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Here in this 13th chapter, Paul sort of deviates just a little bit, but it's not really a deviation, because what he's wanting us to understand is that as important as the gifts are, and they're very important for the well-being and the proper functioning of the body of Christ, they have to be set in a specific context, and that context is love. And Paul's going to go so far as to say, if you have all of the gifts, and even the greatest imaginable gifts, but if they're not administered through love, then it doesn't really amount to anything. And so that's really the connection here. It's perfectly situated between the introduction to the gifts in 12 and then the further instruction regarding them in 14, the reminder that the context has to be love. And so I'm going to read the chapter and then come back and comment on it. So at the end of chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts," having talked about gifts, "and yet I show you a more excellent way. So, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." So this is one of the most well-known and well-loved chapters in the Bible. And Jesus is, talking about the love that God had for the world in sending his son. And then, of course, Jesus is calling his disciples to love one another. And then he says to them, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And he talked about that great love, that greatest of loves, laying down one's life for his friends. And through all of the different epistles in the New Testament, whether they be Paul's epistles or James or Peter or John, in every one of them, we find exhortations to love. Now, the irony and the rather sad thing is that with all of the biblical teaching on love, it seems that this is something that we so often miss. We miss it. And if there's one area where I would say that the church has failed pretty drastically throughout history, it's been in this area of love. And boy, we've got to take this seriously. We need to understand the supremacy of love according to God's word. We need to understand how important it is in the context of our relationships with each other, in the context of our gathering together as the people of God, and in the context of our witness to the world. You know, so often this is where our witness is broken down. It's broken down because we haven't loved. We might be saying the right things. We might be speaking the truth, but we forget to do that other part, speak the truth in love. You know, sometimes we can speak the truth so harshly, and we speak it in such an angry tone, and we sort of justify ourselves by saying, well, you know, I just told them the truth. I just told them what they needed to hear. But yeah, you forgot that one part, telling the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. And so Paul, he says some pretty radical things here, really, if you think about it. And he's talking about the gifts that he's already referred to. He talks about tongues here, prophecy, knowledge, faith, things that he's already mentioned. But look what he says. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. See, some people pride themselves, and the Corinthians evidently did. They were priding themselves in their spiritual gifts. They were proud that they spoke in tongues, but they didn't have love. But they would fall back on, well, you know, it's okay because I speak in tongues. Paul says, well, no, speaking in tongues without love, it's like a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. A sounding brass and a clanging cymbal are not only not saying anything positive, they're flat out annoying. And when somebody is exercising gifts, supposedly of the Spirit, but not having love, that grates on people. People look at that and say, wait, there's something really wrong with that. And then he goes on, the gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries and all knowledge. And although I had all faith. Now think of it. These are the things that so often we put the emphasis on. Oh man, I want to prophesy. I want to understand all the mysteries. I want to have all the biblical knowledge I could possibly get. Man, I want my faith to grow. But sometimes we're doing that and we're putting the focus and the emphasis there, but we're not even thinking in terms of love. And you know, the reality is, love is the thing that makes all of this as powerful as it possibly could be. And it's through love that the message goes forth in a way that it can be received. So if I have knowledge, and we all need to have knowledge, right? And we all want to study our Bibles and we all want to know what they say. But if we just have knowledge and we go out with our knowledge and we tell people that this is what the Bible says and this is the truth about this and all, but yet it's not coming through a heart of genuine love or compassion, they don't receive it. They don't hear it. And so Paul goes on. He says, I'm nothing. And then if I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor. Now, you would think that these things, I mean, you're giving all your goods to feed the poor. You think, well, that's love, isn't it? Well, not necessarily. We can do those things in such a way where we're feeding the poor, but the motive isn't really love. And sometimes the poor that we're feeding, they sense that there's not really love that's coming from us, but it's more, you know, sort of a pity, or, you know, sometimes looking down upon them and, you know, we're just doing this to be charitable. That's all obviously wrong. But he says we could bestow my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So these are pretty hard things that the apostle is saying. But this is how serious the scriptures are when it comes to this whole thing of love. And I think that this is an area where we all have to ask ourselves the question, you know, am I really walking in love when I'm dealing with people, when I'm dealing with my brothers and sisters in Christ, when I'm dealing with my family members? And when I'm dealing with my colleagues at work or people out in the community, you know, am I really walking in love? Now, you know, it's not easy, is it? Because people can be just downright annoying. It's the Spirit of God indwelling us and overflowing from our lives. That's what enables us to love. It's not something that I can come up with. It's something that the Lord has to supply to me. But, you know, I was thinking in raising my kids, you know, I wanted them to do the right thing, and I, you know, would lay down the law to them, and, you know, this is what the Bible says, and this is why we're doing this, and we don't do this here because, and I think of so many times I did it without any love. And, you know, there's a point where your kids just look at you and think, well, okay, you know, you talk about love, and you tell everybody to love each other, and you know, you say you love, but then the way you treat us, the way you talk to us, the way you interact with us. I thank God for His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. I thank God that my kids have been very gracious to me. But I can think of so many times when I was just an absolute jerk as a dad. But, you know, it was tough love. That's what it was. That's how I justified it. These kids need tough love. So Paul here defines for us love. But let's just look at verses 4 through 8 and see what he says. Now, this is the Greek word agape, and this is the word that's commonly used to talk about just that deep and devoted love. It's a word that the Christians pretty much adopted from the Greek language and really cultivated it. And Paul, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is really giving a definition. This is a definition of love, of this word agape. And so what does he say? He says, love suffers long. That's where it starts. Suffers long or is patient. And one commentator pointed this out. Whenever this Greek word is used, it's translated long-suffering here or in other translations, it's patience. The context is the majority of the time it's in relation to people. Love is patient. It's not simply talking about patience through difficult, challenging circumstances. Love is patient with people. Love is patient with challenging people, with difficult people. That's what love is. Now, again, challenging difficult people, it's very hard to love them at times, isn't it? But this is where God supplies us. This is where God gives to us what we do not naturally possess. And this is why we have to call on Him. And this is why we have to stay really connected with Him. Because we're all going to have encounters and experiences with difficult, challenging people. And love is going to be patient with them. If we really love them, it'll manifest itself in patience. And then he says, love is kind. Love is kind. Kindness. For some reason, I like that word, kindness. It's one of those words to me that it just immediately conjures up something in my mind every time I hear the word kindness. And I think of a sweetness. And that's kind of the idea behind the word. Love is sweet. There's a sweetness to it. There's a gentleness with it. There's, you know, just a tenderness there with love. So when we love people, we're going to show it through an act of kindness, a kind gesture, a sweet response or attitude as we're dealing with people, speaking to them, and so forth. And so it's patient and kind. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. The world is full of envy. And sometimes we can be envious. But what do we know? The moment we detect envy in us, we know that, wait, this isn't love. Because love isn't envious. Remember Paul said back in the 12th chapter, he talked about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Someone said, well, it's easy to weep with those who weep. It's not as easy to rejoice with those who rejoice. And sometimes when somebody has a cause to rejoice, others can become envious over that. But love doesn't envy. Love sees somebody else being blessed and is blessed because they're being blessed. They're not saying, oh, that blessing should come to me. They shouldn't be getting that blessing. I should be getting that blessing. Or why are they getting that blessing? Now you see, envy, would be the attitude of envy. But love just says, no, they're rejoicing in the blessing that the other person is receiving. And so love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Remember back in the 8th chapter, Paul said, knowledge puffs up. As a person's knowledge increases, there's also oftentimes along with that, pride increases. And we can be very knowledgeable about something, but we can also be prideful. And if we're prideful, our knowledge isn't really going to benefit too many people, because generally speaking, people don't receive from prideful people. It's just, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. When somebody is prideful and somebody is arrogant and somebody is looking down upon you and you sense that and they're trying to instruct you or whatever, what do you do with that? You just kind of tune it out, don't you? It's like, I don't care what this person says. I don't want to hear it. But when that knowledge is coupled with love, and someone comes along and they really do have knowledge that you need to receive, and they bring it in a loving fashion, I can receive that. And so when we seek to instruct other people with our biblical knowledge, if we're puffed up, if we're arrogant, we're not going to succeed in being a blessing. But love does not parade itself, doesn't show off, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. So easy to just fall into these little attitudes of rudeness and things like that. But if we're walking in the Spirit and if we're full of the Spirit, these are the things that the Spirit is going to be helping us with. So, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Love does not seek its own. What happens so many times in our relationships with other people when we're having breakdown in the relationship? What's at the root of it so often? It's self-centeredness, isn't it? It's because I'm not thinking about the other person. I'm thinking about myself. I think of the million fights I've had with my wife over 33 years. And I can think it so often, you know, even in the middle of it, I'm just knowing, okay, it's all about me right now. I'm being self-centered. I'm being driven by, you know, I'm thinking of myself and I'm putting myself first, and I'm upset because she's not putting me first. But love does not seek its own. Love is looking out for the interest of others. Boy, I mean, again, when you look at this stuff, you think, now, I've kind of failed on every point when it comes to love, a lot. So it does not seek its own. It is not provoked. And some of the translations have added the word easily, not easily provoked, because that's easier than just not being provoked. But love, true love, is not provoked. You know, sometimes people will intentionally try to provoke you, but there is a love that can resist that. There is a love that can overcome even that kind of provocation. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. You know, when we think about other people, are we inclined to think evil about them? If we hear something about a person that's like a negative thing, are we like, oh yeah, I kind of thought that already? Is that our inclination? If that's our inclination, again, that's not love. Love thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So love is never rejoicing in calamity or iniquity or those kinds of things. Love is rejoicing as the truth is being manifested, as the truth is coming forth, as the truth is prevailing. And then he says concerning love that it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. And so the filling of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, because we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, the Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit, and then the Bible talks about fruit of the Spirit. And they're actually two different things. And according to what we read in 1 Corinthians, you could potentially even exercise certain gifts of the Spirit, but yet not really be walking in the Spirit and not be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. But when we're doing that, that's what Paul's saying. When we're doing that, then in the end, we're not really doing anything. We're just a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit at work among us, but it's got to happen in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. It's got to flow from the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So here's the closing thought. How do we grow in love? How do we cultivate love in our lives? Well, this is it. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branch. He that abides in me brings forth much fruit." So Jesus is the vine, we are the branch. As we stay connected with him, closely connected with him, what happens? Fruit is produced. And what is the fruit that's going to be produced? It's going to be the likeness of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is love. The Spirit and Jesus are the same. There is a distinction, but yet they're the two persons of the one God, along with the Father, the three persons together. So in order to experience the gifts in the proper context, as Paul lays it out here, we've got to be filled with the Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and that's going to happen as we just maintain a close connection with Jesus. So stay connected with Jesus, and you will find that his love will flow through you. And when you sense those moments where that love isn't there, what do? You just call upon him, "Lord, I need you to overflow me because I need love in this circumstance. I don't have it." Sometimes we need to, even, you know, if we've transgressed in regard to love, if we've treated people in an unloving fashion, the beginning of kind of the showing of love is to confess that and to apologize and to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we need to do that. And love will do that. If we refuse to do that, then we're not loving. We're holding on to pride or other things. But if we just simply let all that go, and wherever we have to start, if we have to go and say, "Hey, you know what? The way I talked to you, the way I addressed you, the way I responded, or the way I treated you the other day, or the things I said, or whatever, would you forgive me? Because those things were wrong." And that's where everything starts. We get a nice cleansing and fresh filling, and we move forward with that. So, love. And, of course, God's always known what's going to reach people. That's why he gave us all the instruction on love in his word. But, you know, we live in an unlovely world. We live in a world full of damaged people that need true love. They need people to reach out to them in love. And sometimes, of course, it's those people that are the hardest ones to reach out to in love because they're so damaged, they're so messed up, they're repelling. There's nothing attractive about them that makes you want to reach out in love. But quite often, those are the ones that really need it the most, and those are the ones that will respond to it. You know, a person that's full of hate, you don't conquer hate with hate. If you come to that person with more hatred, then you're just going to increase the problem, right? There comes a point where you have to just overcome evil, overcome sin with love and with goodness. And we can only do that by the grace of God and through the help of God. And of course, he wants to supply us with that.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Looking at Love, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0215. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.